You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. All right, good afternoon, Alex. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Still on cloud nine after that great victory yesterday.
That was really something unexpected, different, special. There are a ton of words that we can apply to it right now. So I also am definitely riding the riding the lightning off of that one. It was kind of like the last in the sense of being just completely unexpected. It was kind of like the last game last season where we went into New England and just beat them. But even this game, I think, was more complete than that one.
Yeah, because there was every aspect of the game was clicking, from the special teams to the defense to the offense. I mean, just unreal. I mean, just a tremendous effort altogether.
It was, in so many ways, the very opposite game of the week before against Seattle. I think one of the linchpins, right off the bat, I have to say, one of the real linchpins that seemed to trigger a lot of effect was the return of Byron Jones.
And the benching of a rookie. I think those two moves were brilliant. Byron Jones is he's a shutdown corner. And I'd like to see him, I'd like to see him stay healthy the rest of the year, because what a difference that he made. He made a tremendous difference. And as well as, of course, having Needham in there as
a rookie corner that was really struggling. That's what you mean, yeah. So
yeah, well, having Needham actually, you know, take over for him, really made a big difference. I mean, that he played a hell of a game.
The whole defense came together in this one. And so one of the things that we'd been talking about for a while was our concern about the pass rush, no pass rush, all this stuff. But if you read the articles and the aggregated statistics or something, we're above middle of the road in pass rush this year. And certainly this game, it was just standout.
It was unreal. I mean, five sacks. And it's been a while since we've had five sacks.
Yeah. I guess one of the things might have opened with is how I had a moment of pure, I don't know, I don't want to say depression, but emptiness when they took the field and those stands were empty. Because, again, we were going to be there. And once this game got going, I never wanted to be there more.
it would have been great for us to be in Santa Clara, which, by the way, this was the biggest victory by most points ever scored by an opponent in Santa Clara against the 49ers.
That's amazing.
I mean, it was amazing. And we would have been there, and we would have been able to get rid of some ghosts from the past, from some games that we've seen against these guys.
That's right.
In San Francisco and in person.
Right.
But like we said
but
in the last podcast.
You know, you and I have never been to the stadium in Santa Clara.
No.
The last time we saw a game there was Candlestick. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But the game started out fantastic and never let up.
Setting San Francisco to 3-and-out. With their
three
first
and out,
possession.
And then we take the ball and run it down completely down the lane. First play was a chunk yardage.
A bomb to Preston Williams, 47 yards.
Is Preston Williams back?
He certainly looked back this game, you know, and I'm kind of glad that I just kept him at the bottom on my bench of my fantasy roster, because now maybe I can get some relief from someone like him. So, I, you know, Think of all the superstars that have been injured this year, and that's basically my roster. They're all on IR. And poor Dak Prescott, man. That thing was brutal yesterday, and he's my quarterback.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers are with him. And, you know, my daughter knows him, Brittany, and he's a super nice gentleman, a gentleman. She says he's always been a perfect gentleman every time she's met with him. And he's just a super nice guy, and, you know, really wish him a speedy recovery, and he'll be back. I mean, and also, you know, hats off to him for everything he's done for mental illness with his brother taking his life. I mean, him coming out public, he didn't have to do that. I mean, he's just an outstanding, we need more people like Prescott in the world. Forget the NFL, in the world. Just a great guy. Mm-hmm. Hope he gets back fast and strong next year.
Yeah. You know, I haven't read the details today on the injury.
He had surgery today.
It looked worse than it actually was, like a dislocation as opposed to like shattering bones and ripped tendons. And
It was, from what I understand, a compound fracture. It was bad.
Oh, God. Ugh.
It was not a good situation, but he had a successful surgery today. And he'll be back. I mean, he's a great character guy, and I'm hoping, really, I think he's got so many people wishing for him. I heard even a Philadelphia Eagle fan wrote to him. So that shows you that he has the support of so many people.
Yeah.
You know?
With that kind of character, he'll work hard, he'll come back.
But back to our game, I mean, it was a total dominance from the way we passed the ball, ran the ball. We didn't run the ball exceptional, but we passed the ball exceptional.
Right.
It was an exceptional passing. I mean, we basically ran the ball.
And the run game was good enough to balance things out so that they could not cheat on us.
Well, you know, I mean, Gaskin had 16 carries for 57 yards. Mm-hmm. We rushed for 99 yards at our 2.8 yards per carry. So when I say it wasn't exceptional, again, we didn't break 100 yards. We just don't have a running game.
Yeah.
We almost like use it once in a while to keep things honest. But our passing game, even though he only passed 28 times, 22 completions, 350 yards, 15.7 yards per pass completion, Fritz was on fire.
He was. You know,
and we were thinking, Scott, sorry, real quick, we were thinking he was going to get killed before this game.
Yes.
Right?
We were.
I mean, Jackson
especially
was out.
Especially with the news that Jackson was out, and now there's a
on
reshuffle.
IR. Not only out, on IR.
Yeah, and another rookie that we haven't seen was coming in to take right tackle, although he's the one that we liked after watching his game film.
Yeah, we thought he was going to be the rookie, and you know, even above Jackson.
Hunt, we're talking, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Hunt. But he did start where we thought he was going to play, not guard, but tackle.
Right tackle. Yep.
And held up his own. I mean, we gave up two sacks, but they were blitzing the entire city of San Francisco on us.
Yeah, when they saw how we were being effective and how we were not being effective, you know, mm-hmm. their game plan adjusts to what we were doing, and we still held up. And it was just a great thing to see.
It was the most efficient we have ever seen our offense in many years.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of criticism for the play, you know, the overall scheme and approach last week against Seattle, some of the play calling, some of the use of personnel, and this week seemed to be just the opposite. It was like there was an actual game plan and a scheme specifically to the 49ers, and I'm not saying that didn't exist. I'm saying because of course it exists. These guys are professionals; they do their jobs. But when you're watching, you can either see it work or see it not work. Mm-hmm. Right? Last week it didn't. Whatever they were trying to do did not work, and so the scheme didn't come out. But this week you could see what the plan was, and everyone executed. I mean, that's the bottom line, is everyone was out there executing at all phases. I have so many names to shout out. I'm so glad to see, and I'll praise Gailey for this too, is that he's trying to work some of these extremely talented people that we've picked up into the rhythm of things, like Bowden.
You know that I'm a big fan of that kid, and he had this one play that, you know, he lost it because of a penalty, but he just ran over the cornerback, almost like killed him. he runs with authority, and he's got, we know, great speed. I really like that he's actually mixing that up, throwing in a little Wildcat, not excessively, but, you know, here and there, sprinkling it, keeping it honest. And the fact that, you know, with Preston Williams back, like we were saying earlier, having two elite or great receivers, it's fantastic. I mean, it just opens the whole thing up because Preston is that long ball threat, big body, and Parker's doing a hell of a job of moving the chains. And we had a reoccurrence. Gesicki showed up again. I mean, how great was that to have Gesicki back?
I don't think Gesicki ever left. I think the opportunity left.
He had two receptions in the last two games.
Yeah. Yep.
He had six in this game. He was, well, sorry, he had five. He was targeted six times.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think that we did that was super impressive is that we took away their one weapon.
Yes, Kittle.
Kittle.
That's right.
I mean, Kittle did nothing.
For,
they targeted him, but they couldn't do anything.
For how long have we bemoaned our lack of being able to handle tight ends? It's as big a glaring weakness as running quarterbacks against us, right? Running quarterbacks always ran all over us, and tight ends owned us and ate our lunch. Mm-hmm. And neither thing – well, I mean, they didn't really have a running quarterback, but
running for his life.
That's perfect. Exactly.
That's what they had.
Yeah.
They had a running quarterback. It was, you know, running for his life. Him and Beathard. That was interesting to see Beathard in there.
Surprising.
You know, the whole connection to Miami and all that. But, you know, Jalapa, he just looks so bad. I mean, Jimmy G just.
We got in his head right away. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, we were getting regular pressure on him. We got to give Sealer credit because he had a good game and got that.
Sealer was an animal.
Got that first sack on Garoppolo.
I mean, he played his tail off. I mean, that kid was just all over the field. The whole defense, everybody. Baker, one more time, leading our team in tackles. He's having an all-pro year, quietly.
Yeah, got in there for a couple sacks, too, right?
And a lot of pressure. And a couple of hits, for sure. He had one sack, for sure.
Sack and one hit with a pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one blitz where he came right up the middle, he was like a streak of light. I barely saw him. And boom.
But here's the thing on the game. The first half, we ended up and
had a sack too.
Yeah, Roberts had a sack too.
Yeah.
And the whole team played extremely well, but the first half is over and
you'll get a sack, you'll get a sack, and you'll get a sack.
No, the first half is over. We have a nice lead.
Everybody
right?
gets a sack.
You know, we're up 30-7. The team is doing extremely well, but I think this game, there's always a defining moment in the game, and I think that was in our possession where it was, let me see if I got exactly what it was. It was 4th-and-1 at the Miami's 34-yard line. Here it is. And we ran a fake. I mean, that was ballsy. That was gutsy. That was everything you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't reckless. They knew what they were doing.
Yep.
And that first down allowed us to continue that drive and to put them 37-14, almost put them away. You know, at that point, we really sapped it to them. And I think that was a demoralizing drive that really San Francisco knew they had no chance to win.
One of the comments that came from me, it came from you, it came from Eric, was that
our buddies,
as we were texting and talking about the game during the game, was, boy, this defense is starting to line up and be unpredictable and look like a certain defense from a certain place in the Northeast.
It certainly did. And not only the fact that they, like we said earlier, they were taking away a weapon. You know, which they said, okay, anybody else is going to beat us on this team except Kittle. And then we were. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, are we blitzing the entire team? I mean, we got eight guys on the line. What's going on?
In addition to the scheme to stop Kittle, where we have to give coaching credit, let's give a player credit too, because it looked to me like Eric Rowe just owned him.
Oh, but what a game he had! What a game!
I got worried at one point when Rowe made a tackle on Mozart.
Oh, it seemed like he got a little hurt.
Yeah.
It was like an ankle tackle of it.
Yeah. And my thought was, oh no, now Kittle's going to get off. but gladly Rowe came back in and continued to own him. Unreal.
Yeah. When have you seen Miami punt the ball twice in the once in the first half, once in the second half.
You know, I've watched every game just about forever, for as long as I've lived, almost, you know. So many games, and I can't remember the last time that happened.
I can't. I mean, there was a total dominance against a defense that's had its injuries, but they're still well coached, and they've never been this bad. I mean, they were shredded. It was complete dominance. And props to our kicker. I mean, Sanders is, he hasn't missed a kick all year. He was 5 for 5. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, every aspect of the game, we were clicking. Every single aspect. Now, can we keep that going?
Well, that's just the thing. This team that played yesterday could beat anybody.
Anybody.
And so it creates a new level of excitement for me that something could happen this year. If that was the discovery, if that was the unleashing, if that was the opening of a stream of, you know, activity that's just not going to stop, like the dam finally broke, then we're going to win a lot of games, dude. If it was the opposite, if it was a good fits versus bad fits, you know, oscillation and the defense, you know, just right place, right time, and we don't see them next week or the following or whatever, we'll go right back to the way we were, being an up and down 8-8 team. But, oh, please, that was so fun to watch. I want to see it again.
No, it was a blast to watch. It just sitting there and not worrying about the game.
Fitz was great.
I never had a worry. And they did. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more points in the second half.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, me. I just would like to see us, you know, put up a 55, 58. I mean, you know, just annihilate these guys. But it was an annihilation anyway, 43-17. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the people that scored actual touchdowns in this game. And we still had 5 field goals. Sanders is going to set some kind of record this year, I swear.
The kid's looking great.
Tight end, Sheehan, right? He had the first touchdown.
He scored our first touchdown.
And then when's the last time you saw Gaskin have a walk-in run off a left tackle? When left tackle wasn't even our starting left tackle.
Yeah. They would run that guy that was inactive.
Oh, that's true.
It's super nice that he got his chance. Mm-hmm. And look, if you asked me right now, weakness in Miami on offense, I still say it's running back. If we would have had a running back that would be, you know, an upper-tier quarter running back, this team would be dangerous. Because Gaskin doesn't really scare anybody.
His average shows. His average per carry average shows it.
Yeah, so he doesn't break a lot of tackles. To me, a great running back is the ones that break a lot of tackles. And he's not that running back.
Yeah, he breaks some, and he runs hard, and he's got quickness. And so I don't want to put him down. I'm just
He's not a featured running back. But but the wide receivers are looking up to par now, finally. Preston, you know, healthy again, looking really good. Parker
also had a touchdown. Parker had a touchdown.
Yeah. And, you know, he wasn't the highest targeted guy was Gesicki.
Yeah.
No, Gesicki had the highest targets. I mean, it just...
It was spread around very well. I mean, and that's another key to success is Fitz isn't standing there staring at number 11 the whole time, right? So defenses, you know, and safeties are cheating that way, watching his eyes. There was a lot of look-offs and more people getting open. And,
one thing that Gaskin
does. It was a huge step, and it really revealed our potential.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I mean, Gaskin, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, he was targeted 5 times. He made 5 catches. I mean, the kid really has good hands. And Breida made that one catch for 31 yards. He almost broke it. That was super exciting.
It was. I mean, it was. That guy is so quick. If we could find a way to get him in space more often with the ball, I think we'll see some special things happen this year.
You know, what you were saying before, Scott, about different receivers, I mean, we had 9 receivers catch the ball. 9 different receivers.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. I mean, there's only 22 receptions.
You can't game plan against that.
It's diversification. It's really, really spread the ball around well, and played. It was the perfect game for Miami. You know, it's just super exciting.
I want to throw out some more names. Van Ginkel had one heck of a sack and a play. Nailed Garoppolo and caused a fumble, although, you know, San Francisco recovered their own ball. But it was just another great defensive. That we were coming at them from all sides. You never know who was coming.
Yeah, no idea.
That's where that New England factor came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes they'd all be standing, and you didn't know who was lining up where. And, you know, sometimes people were moving around, and it was a blitz fest. We weren't, I would have to guess that we blitzed more this game than we did in many of our combined games previously.
We did, but it was just, like you said, there was just so much contribution on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the five sacks were done by what? By five different individuals.
Yeah, Ogba was looking good out there.
Ogba was looking fantastic. Baker got a
batting the ball at the line of scrimmage, pushing back linemen into the quarterback's face.
Yeah, and Roberts got his sack.
Mm-hmm. Bobby McCain had an interception. Xavier Howard had an interception.
And Howard. Mm-hmm.
And that
Howard is a ball hawk. I mean, he really is. Howard is probably our best ball hawk, par none. Again, that was kind of like a gift yesterday. None of these interceptions were terrible.
Yeah, they weren't spectacular. They were floaters and
terrible
misplaced balls and yeah.
It was like a little punt that went to them there.
I saw a lot more. It really was a sort of an unpredictable mix up and combination of man and zone, because I'd see us in the zone and Garoppa would throw a bad pass into misreading a player, you know, in the zone, and we'd end up with it. But then if you watch on Kittle, it was almost always man.
But you know, Kittle was targeted 8 times. His longest reception was 12 yards. He got 4 receptions for 44 yards, no touchdowns. I'll take that every day of the week, twice on Sunday. We just shut his ass down. That's what we did. And they're a young rookie.
Yeah.
It's been a strange year, Scott. I mean, this game, I think we're done with it. If we could have another, I won't be greedy, another 12 games like this.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Yeah.
Even
in the
great.
End of the game, we're still making big plays. Plays that would be...
We weren't quitting.
Exactly. That's my point. Plays that would be impact plays if the game was on the line. I mean, Ogba getting in there again for a sack strip when it was almost scrub time and they were trying to, you know, just get some points on the board or do it, you know, do whatever they were doing. And so...
No, that shows a defense with pride.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't want to give up more garbage points. Because, by the way, that was some bad calls at the end when they got that touchdown.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter if the game was out of reach. But
right.
Just terrible calls.
But if the game was on the line and
we would have been
calls,
we would have been going crazy.
We would have been furious.
We were still pissed off because it was such a Bush League calls.
Mm-hmm. The holding on Sheehan, which couldn't be seen.
Totally. Nobody could see it. They didn't know how that happened. The hit on the quarterback again. How are you supposed to hit him with the shoulders? I mean, I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was like a chest bump where he put.
He didn't even fall down.
Exactly, and there was there was no face to face.
There was no
head
hand to
rocking
the face.
Back. Yeah. There was no. It was nothing. It was this gentlest tap of a guy trying to stop. I'm like, if that's not the quintessential way that you could make contact with a quarterback in this day and age, I don't know what is. So how was the flag thrown there?
I don't know. I think that ref.
It was a pissed off San Francisco fan.
That ref. That ref must have a Bay Area address. That was a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a great game. Great game. And we were gearing up to play the I think we're done with this game, right, Scotty? Anything else?
Let's
see
if I have any other names, because I just love calling out players who have a big moment. You know, there was a moment where even our fullback made an impact block.
Oh, Cox! Yes.
Where he just bumped off one guy and then blew up the safety Ward, who was trying to make the play. And I just want to say, man, that was awesome to see too. People don't use fullbacks a lot anymore, and when you get the opportunity, you have to do something like that. And it was noticeable. We noticed you, man.
Oh man, did we notice him? I mean, he just blasted. Yeah, he's a hell of a player. I mean, I'm glad he's on our team. I think with that short yardage, it makes a big difference to have a big boy like that back there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Anybody else that jumps out at you? Because I got all my guys. I mean, to me, the entire defense, entire offense, props to everybody. It's just unreal.
Yeah. And the coaching special teams staff as well. The great planning, great execution, mm-hmm. Everything clicked. And so can we keep this going? Can we do the same thing to our next opponents? Have we unleashed the beast?
I don't think we'll have much of a problem unleashing the beast against the worst team in the NFL that's coming to town as a gift. The NFL gods looked down on us and said, okay, you guys played a great game. Here's your prize. You get the pets.
Yeah, our schedule is just, I'm glad that agility is a thing these days. I'm glad that I already have an agile mindset, or I think I'd be just bent sideways over all these changes.
You gotta be fluid. Yeah. That's what it is. That's the word.
So we were supposed to play Denver, and next week we were supposed to play the Chargers. And when we looked at the schedule, we made our predictions and, you know, thinking about sequence, thinking about the bye weeks, trying to predict when
travel. The travel,
trying to predict when Tua was gonna play. It's all in the wind now. It's all in the wind, and really, we have to do the same thing that the coaches preach all the time, week to week.
It is week to week.
It's all about the next game. Focus on the next game. And mm-hmm. So, suddenly, today, our next game is the New York Jets.
The New York Jets. Well, a couple of things on the Jets. They're ranked on offense 32nd in the NFL. 32nd. They're averaging 15 points per game.
There's that offensive guru coach that everyone said is the greatest offensive mind.
No, this gets worse. They're 28th in total offense.
You do realize there's going to come a time where we're going to miss Gase.
Nah, he'll resurface someplace, but it won't be as much fun as New York.
Yeah.
Because it's just a blast to see the Jets. The Jets are averaging 279 yards per game. Fritz passed for more than that himself, you know, 279 yards per game, 28th in total offense, 32 in points scored. They're the worst scoring points. These are historically the worst numbers in Jets history.
Yeah. Well, the season was always today, got somebody to blame, and now he's what? Flacco, right?
Flacco, Kovic. I mean, after the game, Bell was at it again. He liked to... somebody tweeted something about that he needs to be used more because they threw one pass to him and he liked it. And so Gase is upset about that. And, you know, I mean, we're catching the circus. The only good thing is for them that the stadium won't be filled to max with fans, even though the governor, you know, has allowed in Florida the stadiums to be completely filled. I think it's irresponsible.
I do too. I think, and you know, I saw that tweet from DolphinsTalk.com calling out our boys from Mike, and I had to reply to it on our behalf, and I said, "Boy, something like I'm going to paraphrase, boy, I hope that Ross and the Dolphins organization is smarter than that, and that they continue to protect not only the players." But the fans, who sometimes need protection from themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Don't do the 65,000. That's what I believe what the governor said.
Well, what I would do is you let more fans in, and just there won't be any Jet fans coming to the game anyway.
Yeah, if you're wearing a Jet uniform, you're not allowed in.
Yeah, the fact of the matter, they're not going to go anywhere. Okay, the schedule as we know it right now, we're going to have the gift of having the Jets come to town, and perhaps see Gase for the last time. We certainly don't hope that, but that looks like that could be the case as he goes to Miami at 4:05 p.m. So the game's going to kick off in the West Coast at 1:05.
Well, that's an East Coast game happening in the afternoon. That's rare.
Well, it just gives the Jets
again,
more time.
It's more about the scheduling change probably because of all the TV stuff and, all the weirdness going on this year.
Then what's going to happen then is rather than us having a bye in week 11, we will have a bye in week 7th on October the 25th. Yep. Then the next 2 weekends will go as planned. We're going to go see the Rams. We're going to go see the Cardinals. But then the Dolphins will host the Chargers.
Wait. The Rams come see us, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Because otherwise we would have planned to go see that one, too.
No, the Rams, as we know.
Both LA teams were coming to see us.
We're coming to Miami, yes. The Dolphins will host the Chargers on November the 15th. They were supposed to play the Jets, that day.
Yep.
And then the Denver game was going to be moved to November 22nd instead of next week.
No, that's quite
so that
a ways
was the originally
off.
The bye.
Mm-hmm. And it's in Denver, so later in the season, that becomes a snow game.
It becomes a snow game.
Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah. So there's positives and negatives. I mean, the positive is that I think we can keep this momentum going by having the Jets come to town, a team that is completely, utterly quitting.
Yeah. Quitting.
You know what I would do? If I want to just shut the Jets down forever, I would put Jones on Crawford and just say, just shadow him. I don't care if he goes – if he goes slot receiver, wherever he goes, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, that's all they got.
That's it. And then Flacco or Donald, I couldn't care less who starts.
Just tee off on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same. Yeah, their offensive line is in shambles. Their defense has given up. I mean, this game could be a 40-plus point victory.
I have
Miami.
A fantasy question for you. Mm-hmm. In both our leagues, who's yes. got the first? In the order.
Because I don't know.
If you're not getting the Dolphins, I'm getting the Dolphins.
I'm last. For next I'm week. Last, as you know. In the other league, I may have we play for you, for people out there. Scott and I play in two leagues, and one I'm in first place. The other one I'm in a fifth or sixth, and I definitely want the Dolphin D.
Yep.
Yep, I. There's no secrets there. I want.
So
I
do
want
I.
That defense.
Let's put our bids in right now.
I think I already did in one of them because I think I have no chance in the one that I'm in first place. Because it resets after every game.
That's our tip this week, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Dolphins fans. Nobody in the world had the Dolphins defense. I mean, nobody with any brains. Anyways,
nobody.
Okay. And now it's time to pick them up. For this week, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a great pick. I could see Miami getting a one touchdown, maybe two against this team.
Yeah. Howard's likely to have three interceptions again.
Oh,
match
yeah.
Match his season
yeah,
total yeah. in one game. So, mm-hmm. love it. Love it. Love it.
No,
hate
it's,
the
it's,
Jets.
It's...
Hate love Gase, I guess. I mean... Can't believe he lasted that long as our coach, and yeah. I mean, we've beat this subject to death, but it's still fun to pick.
Well,
anything
cool.
else about the Jets game, Alex?
Well, they do have a little bit of a lead on us on the overall series. The only thing I could say is that they're in such complete shambles. I'm just hoping they don't get Trevor.
Oh, my, no. Yeah.
That's
a new coach and Sunshine going to New York.
Lawrence, it wouldn't be good. After watching him dismantle my Hurricanes, he's just such a great quarterback, and he's cocky as hell.
Mm-hmm.
So I was cursing at him on Saturday and then thinking to myself, boy, I'd love to have him on a Dolphin uniform, even though we got Tua.
Yeah.
But, boy, that kid is going to be the most special quarterback, I think, in the last 15, 20 years
I
to come out.
Too, and I'm getting goosebumps because there's one thing I saw in this game that I wanted to mention that I forgot to mention. When Fitz scored one of his touchdowns through the pass, I saw Tua run out on the field and jump hug him.
Yeah, they got a great relationship.
That tells me so many things, that he's a rookie, he's on the bench, he's in learning process, but he's 1,000% into what's happening on the field in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about other quarterbacks that are sitting on the bench. They're sitting there, and they got a little grimace on their face and their hat on, or maybe they're looking at plays or whatever. There's very little emotion usually. And here we are blowing out the 49ers, and our boy Tua is running out there.
Kind of like what we saw from Rosen, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
he's
Rosen
running
was,
out there to celebrate with Fitz. That is a classic mm-hmm. moment. I don't know
I
if you
it.
Guys realize how important it is to see something like that about character, about engagement, about.
But the other side of the coin is we also have a quarterback who embraces his job, his duty to tutor the kid.
Yep.
And to show him how to be a professional.
Yep.
And how to act like a professional. I mean, even though Fritz sometimes looks like a teenager out there, you know, doing that little dance with his fist and all that stuff that he does, it's just awesome to see him, that enthusiasm that just pours out, that leadership.
My prediction on Fritz is that if he wants it, he has a future in coaching.
He should always be in Miami.
He's got the mind for it.
I would love to have this guy forever there. We know he's a smart guy,
mm-hmm.
and we know he understands offenses, and heaven knows he's been in enough offenses.
And we know he's a good leader and knows how to speak to people and deal with mm-hmm. people and pull out their emotions.
Understands the personality.
Involved. Yes.
Understands the moment.
Yep.
You know, when that kid scored that touchdown, he gives him the ball. I mean, he just knows the moment that's out there. But going back to our schedule.
You hear that, Greer? Hire him when he retires, right?
Maybe he'll take over Greer's job. He's just kidding. No, okay.
I don't know about his.
I know.
Yeah, player personnel abilities. Right?
I'll take my chances. But anyway, in week six, the Dolphins, after we play this, we have our bye
mm-hmm.
in seventh. And then we go back home again against the Rams. So we're basically not leaving South Florida. Instead of like all this traveling of San Francisco going home and then to Denver and then going home, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So that change in the schedule really benefit us quite a bit.
It does for middle of season growth, record, all of it,
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. And it's not like we took a monster off our schedule and pushed it to late in the season. I mean, our
later in the season is pretty bad, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the hardest December schedule in football.
So we really got to make our waves now.
We got to make our hay now and then be hopefully hoping that we could steal a couple in December because it's brutal.
Yep.
It's brutal.
Yep. And that team that played yesterday could steal a couple in December.
Oh, this team could beat anybody. I would put us up against, I mean, I'm going to say it, the Chiefs. The Chiefs are not stopping anybody. Yesterday they got punked at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, you know, it's difficult to say home and away today with the way the NFL is.
Right. The whole crowd factor is taken out of it.
Yeah, that you know, there's no 12 man anywhere in the NFL.
Yeah, it's travel.
It's all about travel.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. But they beat them pretty soundly. I was watching that game, and Vegas looks the real thing. Chucky is coaching his tail off there, Scotty.
Yeah. I know. You know, I didn't like him. Don't like him. Whatever.
I think he's a very good coach.
That team is turning around. It is. For sure.
He's shown that he can coach, yeah.
And we got to play him.
Yes, we do.
That was our. That was the game with the biggest circle around it. On our Alex and Scott are going to be there.
That would have been the Vegas with the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really has been a messed up year personally, and we've taken made a lemonade the best we can.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see the shellacking that we're going to give the Jets next week. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be one of these epic moments that the Jets just totally give up. That's what I am predicting right now.
We have threatened to get together for a game for quite some
time. Let's do it. Let's do it for the Jets. What could be better than that? We'll do it for the Jets, and then we can maybe do our podcast right after.
We could.
That'll be awesome. You know, I mean, this has been a great, I mean, the Dolphins are 2-3 and I feel like we're undefeated. I just saw so much. My biggest worry was that we were not coaching up.
Yes, mine too.
For some strange reason. And now
things just weren't clicking. The system wasn't clicking with the players.
Nothing.
The players weren't engaged enough. It was, and it just kind of snapped into place.
Everything snapped into place.
Yep.
And it looks like something that can be sustainable. I'm not sure about Fritz passing like that. That's not us not punting the ball only twice in a game.
Yeah.
Okay, that's unrealistic. But if we can have this defense play at this level
mm-hmm.
and our offense still contribute 25 to 30 points,
mm-hmm.
wow, we're going to win a lot of games.
I agree. And it's going to be fun to see on the way. And so it leads me to another question because you mm-hmm. were the one that seemed to be most engaged with, you know, when are we going to see Tua? Because your whole formula for when we were going to see him against the Chargers is just dead and gone.
Pretty much. I think at this stage it has to happen, and it may, I don't know. I mean, my whole formula was based on what I thought was a lot of logic based on the way the team was playing.
Mm-hmm.
But having played this well, there's no way I'm making a change. And there's no way I would have brought Tua in late in the game and mop-up duty.
Okay.
I wouldn't have done
that
either.
You were leading into my next question. What if mm-hmm. we're beating the Jets 30-3
no.
in
no,
the fourth quarter?
No.
Okay.
I'm just not the way I think Tua's career should start.
Yeah. Not you in know, a mop just, up.
Yep. No. You announce him the starter, you prepare him all week, and you make sure he's ready to go and give him all the tools.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think people would argue with us over that.
They
one,
will because they want to see him out there and they don't understand that this moment is as big as it is as anything for our franchise. But we need to know
this
what
is
we have.
Where we
in
need
Tua.
To get Hondo or somebody back because we just agree. Too much. We need a counter voice. Right?
We will. We're going to get him back here before the season ends. And Hondo, for those people out there, that's my son Alejandro, and we call him Hondo. And he's got this. He's 30 years old, so he has this new, fresh look at the Dolphins. That Scott and I sometimes go, I don't know, but you know, it's the way that young Dolphin fans think. They've never seen a winner. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't remember the Dolphins as winners. I mean, he's a fan because I indoctrinated him very well.
Yeah. I'm not doing as well with Connor as you did with Alex. So,
oh man, we'll me it wasn't a choice. I had him on games, and it was like, son, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
And I gave him all this crazy stock that people were like, you know, is this guy out of his mind? A little,
yes.
but it's what I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
And you know, he did an internship with the Dolphins.
Yep.
And met Shula and Marino and. You know, so, you know, when he went to the University of Miami down there. And so that was all cool things that we did. But like I said, Scott, let's watch this game together in this world of social distancing. I have a whole setup for that. So it'll be fun.
I'll sit on the opposite end of the couch.
Yeah, exactly. And
with my mask on.
And we'll kick some Jets booty and really watch a trashing of the Jets, a classic trashing of the Jets.
Let's make it happen. Let's
you
do
got it.
It,
brother.
Come on, okay. Dolphins.
I predict. I'll put it out there.
Okay.
We're going to win by close to 40 points.
Wow.
If it's not 38, it's 41, 42. It's that kind of a trashing.
Fantastic. Oh, my God. I want to see that so bad I can't. I'm salivating.
That's what is going to happen.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm putting myself out there.
Okay, my friend. It's been great. We'll see
An
you
honor.
Next week. Oh, we'll
okay.
see you at
go
the
Dolphins.
Game. All right.
Yep.
Go Dolphins. Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. We now have a YouTube channel. Please go there, like our videos, and smash that subscribe button. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!